NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? Radio CUC English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. I'm Yang Shang.
And I'm Xu Jingtian. Today is Monday, the 30th of November, the 12th week of this term.
Here is the roundup of the latest news, coming up next 30 minutes.
On November 27th, an event called 2 plus 1 was held jointly by the home of Red Ribbon, Beijing Ditang Hospital, and CUC in an advertisement museum.
According to Direct Health Speak in Beijing, in Iran, there are more than 100 people who are newly infected by the AIDS.
China published the marriage status report on November 19th.
60年代出生的人比较重视的是就是过比较平淡的生活。
People born in the 1960s are more eager to have a stable life. Spouses born in the next decade think more about how to improve marriage. The post-1980s generation appear to be more romantic, while those born up to 1990s want more recognition from their marriage partners.
At least 22 people were killed after gunman attacked a Mali hotel on November 20th.
The Secretary General condemns the horrific terrorist attacks at the Radisson Hotel in Bamako, which killed an unknown number of civilians and injured many more. He expresses his sincere condolences to the government of Mali and the bereaved family and wishes a speedy recovery to the wounded victims of this attack. The United Nations peacekeeping mission in Mali has been assisting the Malian authorities in the handling of the crisis.
And comments on APEC meeting.
APEC is basically a geopolitical summit held annually by one out of its 21 member countries.
And this is Weekly Focus.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
On November the 27th, an event called 2 plus 1 was held jointly by the home of Red Ribbon, Beijing Ditang Hospital, and CUC in the Advertisement Museum. 2 plus 1 refers to a medical worker, a graduate, and a Red Ribbon volunteer. As the advocate of the AIDS, our alumna, Chun Yi, also came to this event. Our correspondent, Xu Jingtian, was there.
Okay, thank you. I never believe we graduates will know nothing about AIDS. Universally, I'm sure that most of us have a good command of the basic information of the AIDS and know how it spread and how to keep it away from us. But unfortunately, according to the data I've heard here, the young people at our age account for a large part of the Chinese who is infected by AIDS every year, and this percentage is still becoming larger. So I'm really concerned about why so many young people get HIV this year.
Those who take drugs, children, and other people we had just mentioned before, the percentage of them to be infected with AIDS was controlled in an expected degree. But it was really hard to solve the new problem, which was partly caused by new type drugs. So I want to say, can we teenagers keep ourselves away from these bad habits and never be involved in them? Why tell you this? Because in your age, in camp, there are more than 100 people who are newly infected with the AIDS. That is really a crazy number. Can you believe that in camps around you, there may be an HIV bring?
Just like what Chun Yi said, we have acquired much information, but the fact disappoints us. So what causes this phenomenon? One key factor is the drug.
There were several real stories. One of them was about a boy that in our age. He was brought to a party by his friend one day, and the story may seem like the old stuff. He failed to resist temptation of trying the drug, and it influenced his mind deeply. He became so excited to remember how to avoid AIDS, and he passed an oaky night. Tomorrow morning, when he became awake, he said that he forgot how many people he had made love with that night. And unfortunately, he was diagnosed that he was infected with AIDS.
So all of us should be warned by this story. There is something that you should never try. At the final of the report, I want to say, please don't discriminate those who are infected with AIDS. They are the same to us. We should give them our hug, our care, instead of the indifference. That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Jingtian. This event aimed at popularizing the feature of the AIDS and tells Red Ribbon's volunteering stories to the students. Help the students have acquired adequate information about how serious AIDS is and how to prevent it.
On November 24th, a communication forum with Yang Qihan was held in No. 48 Kitchen Building by SNP Department of CUC Student Union. He is a postgraduate from Tsinghua University who used to be the chairman of the Student Union. He shared his new book and some of his experience. Our correspondent Wang Jingyi was there.
He starts by talking about his original intention of writing.
I found a problem in most books of success science. They overestimate people's subjectivity that they ignore objective conditions. So I began writing, and some books became popular.
Then he shares his experience of reading with students.
The habit of accumulating materials helps me a lot. Someone asked me how I can remember so much knowledge and how to make them practical. I told them to draw lines and take notes when reading.
He talks in a humorous way. The classroom bursts into laughter now and then. At the end of the lecture, he gives suggestions on college life.
When you are confused and only have one way to go, you're lucky. Just stick to it, and you can get a good result.
So after the forum by Yang Qihan, what did you learn?
The lecture is very relaxing and the atmosphere is comfortable. Actually, I have learned a lot from listening this lecture. It's really a good experience, I think.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Jingyi. Conveyed in a humorous way, his sharp thought prompted students to think deeply about their life. Hope this lecture influenced their view towards reading and studying.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news. On November the 19th, China published marriage status report. The report shows the current average age at which Chinese people get married remains at 26. About 75% of men got married between the ages of 25 and 34, while more than 90% of women find their husband before turning 30. Around 55% of those who got surveyed got to know their spouses with the help of friends, while people born after 1980s depended more on the internet to find their match more than any other age groups.
60年代出生的人呢，比较重视的是就是过比较平淡的生活。
People born in the 1960s are more eager to have a stable life. Spouses born in the next decade think more about how to improve marriage. The post-1980s generation appear to be more romantic, while those born after the 1990s want more recognition from their marriage partners.
The report was published by the China Association of Marriage and Family Studies. It covers 10 major Chinese cities, including Beijing and Guangzhou, with over 10,000 responses being collected.
The weather in Guangdong province remains very warm, with temperatures in most parts of the southern Chinese province hovering around 30 degrees Celsius. According to statistics released by local meteorological department, the average maximum temperature of Guangzhou, which is the capital of the province, was 26.4 degrees Celsius from November 8 to 19, holding a year-on-year increase of over 4 degrees.
持续到2016年的春季，所以呢，在这种二尼诺事件发生。
The El Nino event will last until next spring, and it will cause high temperatures and may cause high precipitation in the province as well. However, we cannot rule out that parts of the province, such as Lazio Peninsula, will suffer from drought.
Severely affected by the El Nino, experts have authorities to say alert for disastrous weather.The El Nino is a phenomenon in which the unusual rising of water surface temperatures in the ocean around the equator affects climate and weather conditions around the world.
Okay, let's look at international news. Islamic extremists armed with guns and grenades stormed the luxury Radisson Blue Hotel in Mali's capital, Bamako, on November 20th.Security forces swarmed into free gas floor by floor. The attack was strongly condemned by the United Nations, and according to UN spokesperson Stephen Dujarric, the UN peacekeeping mission had been helping local authorities handle the crisis.
The Secretary General condemns the horrific terrorist attacks at the Radisson Hotel in Bamako, which killed an unknown number of civilians and injured many more.He expresses his sincere condolences to the government of Mali and the bereaved family and wishes a speedy recovery to the wounded victims of this attack. The United Nations peacekeeping mission in Mali has been assisting the Malian authorities in the handling of the crisis.
As many as 170 people were reportedly held hostage. Some hostages succeeded in escaping by their own means, while the majority of them were rescued by the special forces.The jihadist group Al Maribitan claimed the responsibility for the attack in a tweet.
This year's Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Economic Leaders Meeting has wrapped up in Manila. Leaders of the 21 member economies have issued a joint declaration, vowing to build inclusive economics by supporting comprehensive and ambitious structural reforms.
The services sector is becoming a more important part of the economic equation. It makes up approximately two-thirds of the GDP in the APEC region, and we need to put more emphasis and thought into making this sector even more competitive. This framework will lead to a goal-driven roadmap for us to achieve over the next decade to help the sector thrive.
The leaders have reaffirmed their commitment to endorsing the free trade area of the Asia-Pacific.They also called for increased international cooperation and solidarity in fighting terrorism. With this year's meeting held against a backdrop of terror attacks around the world, this year's APEC Economic Leaders Meeting was the 23rd of its kind. The next annual meeting is scheduled to be held in Peru.
Okay, let's move on to the weekly news minutes. On November the 20th, School of Television had a carnival in 400 lecture hall in which all the class need to prepare the performance. The freshman of International Journalism and Communication got the first prize.
On November 21st, Chen Xiwen, the professor of Rural and Policy of China, delivered a speech in report hall of the library.Students attend the lecture knew more about the confirmation of land rights.
Chinese President Xi Jinping on Thursday strongly condemned the Islamic State group for killing a Chinese and expressed his deep sympathy to the victim's family. Xi made the remarks on sidelines of the 23rd Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Economic Leaders Meeting.
Just a week into circulation, the new 100 yuan notes put out by China's central bank are going through some growing pains.With numerous complaints connected to retailers who are unwilling to accept the new bills.
Two female suicide bombers blew themselves up at a mobile phone market in the northern Nigerian city of Kano on Wednesday, killing at least 14 people and wounding more than 100 others.
Toronto's Chinese-Canadian community has contributed $400,000 to help fund a new building for brain sciences at Sunny Brook Health Science Center.The volunteer leaders of the initiative congratulated the donors for their generous support on Monday in Toronto. So nice to meet you again. Let's go through some fresh sport news. Guangzhou Evergreen claimed its second AFC Champions League title in 3 years by defeating Al Ahly 1-0 on November the 11th. Tianhe Sports Center was the stadium for 2015 AFC final between hosts Guangzhou and Al Ahly of the United Arab Emirates. Guangzhou had held Al Ahly to a goalless draw in the first leg of the tournament in Dubai and was looking to win the second leg here in China. In a goalless first half, things looked grim for the Chinese team, but Guangzhou found its rhythm in the later half of the game and finally scored a goal. Evergreen was able to defend and held on for the win. During a press conference, Guangzhou head coach Luis Scolari commented on his team's accomplishment.
Mas como estamos crescendo, podemos...
We are improving day by day as a team, so we can dream of something in the FIFA Club World Cup next month in Japan. We are giving everything we have from the past experiences we've had with some great teams who faced Guangzhou right now. In the Club World Cup, we are going to face America, Mexico, and who knows if we are able to play with Barcelona. It will be a great opportunity and new experiences for the Chinese football team.
Scolari will now lead the Chinese club at its second appearance at the FIFA Club World Cup in Japan next month. After becoming the first man to win 6 Masters titles in a calendar year, Novak Djokovic has continued the best season of his career with a victory over Rafael Nadal in London on November 11. Djokovic could end his season with 4 successive ATP World Tour Finals wins as he has advanced to the finals. In the match against Nadal, Djokovic made quick work of the Spaniard to close out the semi-final match. After the game, Djokovic commented on his success.
I don't feel unbeatable, but it does definitely feel great when I'm playing the way I've played today. When I feel like I'm dictating the pace and the match itself and most of the rallies, I feel like I'm on the top of my opponent. And there are days when you don't feel great, when you have to find a way to win. I've had so many wins this year that, of course, make a difference in terms of the approach, optimistic approach to the matches and the confidence level that I feel on the court.
Djokovic and Nadal are now tied at 23 wins apiece in head-to-head matchups. The Chinese national team has to accept a goalless draw with Team Hong Kong in Group C of 2018 FIFA World Cup Asian Zone qualifying tournament. This has made a chance for national team to enter the last stage of the Asian Zone qualifying campaign much slimmer, since only the 8 group winners and 4 best second place teams will gain the entry. Currently, Qatar is topping Group C with 18 points after defeating Bhutan 3-0, while the Chinese national team is at the 3rd and team Hong Kong ranked 2nd. It's going to be difficult for the national team to be one of the 4 best performing runners-up among the 8 groups on goals, even if it wins its remaining 2 games against the Maldives and Qatar. It's also been claimed that the national team should have won the game, but Yu Dabao's goal in the 77th minute was ignored by the referee. Russian athletes stated in a press conference in Moscow on Friday that they will file a defamation lawsuit against Yulia Stepanova, the sportswoman who blew the whistle on doping in Russian athletics. Athletes present at the conference were Russian runners Kristina Ogurova and Tiana Miazina, who account for 2 out of 5 athletes who could be suspended for life following WADA's recommendation. The 2 runners vowed to take Stepanova and German RTV to court following their documentary on widespread use of doping in Russian athletes. Stepanova, a middle-distance runner, competed for Russia until she was handed a 2-year suspension on suspicion of doping in 2013. She secretly recorded Russian coaches and athletes over almost 2 years, describing how they used performance-enhancing drugs. That's all for sport. Let's move on to the entertainment.
Welcome to the weekly entertainment. Stick to the channel, and I'll bring you a terrific show tonight. For chocoholics in Chongqing, November 21st was a big day, because on this day, a theme park named Chocolate's Dream Space was finally opened to the public. This park is made by 28 tons of chocolate and consists of numerous fantastic sculptures and spectacles. You can see chocolate castles, chocolate volcanoes, not to mention having a taste of various kinds of chocolate there. What a paradise designed for your sweet tooth. So, parents, do keep a close eye on your kids when strolling about in the park, especially when they've got decayed teeth. Shall you have a picnic with a bell? Recently, during a photo shoot, a Russian mother called Irina did take her daughter to a picnic with a brown bell. Adopted by the local people, the bell is quite friendly to humans, and the little girl could even sit on its back and feed grapes to it. And what's more, this is not the bell's first participation in a photo shoot. I bet it must be scared in acting of live action, Beauty and the Beast. Have you seen chickens wearing sweaters? As winter comes, the owner of a farm in Cornwall in Britain has made over 150 sweaters for her chickens. These handmade clothes can not only keep the chickens warm, but also add color to the dull backgrounds of the farm. Just imagine a group of chickens in different colors running around in a farm. Interesting, isn't it? On November the 19th in Britain, a cake baker called Lara Clark made two special cakes from the prototype of her husband and herself for their wedding. It took her 20 hours to make the cakes, and the finished work looked just the same as the real people. Sounds amazing, right? However, few guests ate them, for they were too busy taking photos with the cakes. From November 23rd to November 25th, the 2015 World Forum on Robots was held in Beijing, during which you can see those best-in-class robot teams of the Robot Cup. Being fans of football, you guys may be disappointed at the national team's poor performances during the World Cup qualifications recently. But cheer up, we still have a strong robot football team which was once the runner-up of the Robot Cup. Can you imagine buying a house with coins? Recently in Sichuan, when a woman came to buy the house with 7 sacks of coins weighing over 250 kilograms, all the staff were shocked, for they had never seen such a great number of coins before. Having kept this heavy iron for years, the woman finally got rid of them in this way. So, sometimes spending money is also a kind of relief, isn't it? Recently in America, a drunk woman from Florida called 911 and asked for fried chickens and beer. Later, the police did come to her house, but instead of bringing her what she had ordered, they took her away for the detention. So it seems that the delicious food in the Dallas Green soap opera, You Come From the Stars, has impressed not only Chinese audience, but also the Americans. On November 20th in Botswana in Africa, a Canadian diamond company discovered a diamond weighing 1,111 carats. It is almost the same size of a tennis ball and is said to be the largest diamond that has been found since last century. So, for guys who are loaded, it's time for you to prepare for the bids during the auction.
Recently, the 23rd APEC meeting was held in Philippines.
Our commentator, Zach and Hattie, will comment on this issue.
Hello, everyone, again. Welcome back to today's episode for Weekly Focus Commentary. It's me again, Zach, and once again, I'm joined by Hattie.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hattie. And, Zach, I hear that in your country, an important political event took place recently.
Yes, thank you very much for mentioning that. So, about 1 or 2 weeks ago, an event called APEC 2015 took place. It's basically short for Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation. APEC is basically a geopolitical summit held annually by one out of its 21 member countries, all of which are located within the Pacific Rim area, if you know, familiar with that.
Right, and I think even though, you know, one of the main items on the agenda is to foster greater economic integration of the ASEAN or Southeast Asian countries, I think the terrorism and the recent events in Paris sort of took some focus away from that.
Well, that may be true, but I don't think it deterred anything. If you remember correctly, there were also maritime disputes that occurred near this, within the South China Sea, But that hasn't really deterred any of the attending leaders from participating in the summit.
Yeah, and I think in your country, Zach, in the Philippines, because you guys were hosting at this time, there were some protests due to, you know, what's being seen as APEC being something that promotes American imperialism. Do you have any comments about that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think it could be, there is some validity in those claims, because a lot of these foreign business ventures that occur in my country are mostly from America. But it's very hard to compete against that kind of power, considering that pretty much everything, our very government itself is very supportive of those measures. We can't really do anything much about that, except to just comply and do the best we can. Now, in relation to activities being held, the president was recently talking about this, that the goal of this particular forum was to improve economic ties, improve relations, as well as to boost the economies and take advantage of the current financial...
Okay, yeah. And I think what some of the concern is, I know in your country you've had experience with actual American imperialism, you know, in the political sense. And I think a lot of the concern now is, you know, you're not politically under the control anymore, but are you still economically dependent? So, you know, when we talk about globalization or economic integration, maybe what are you integrating into? Maybe for, you know, laborers and other economically marginal groups, you want to question, are, you know, when we're integrating into a global economy where a lot of transactions are in U.S. dollars, or, you know, where poorer countries are sort of reduced to just making cheap consumer items for wealthy nations to consume, and then they have to shoulder the burden of, you know, pollution and all the other problems that come with that, like, some people might think that's not fair. Like, free trade might be better for some people and not for others.
Well, that's true. But that's the thing about globalization as a whole. In the 21st century, all of our societies are interconnected. Especially in the advent of this digital revolution, pretty much everything we do online now is recorded. All of our transactions, all of our business ventures, all of our dealings, bargains, communications, most of it is done online. So a lot of the time, like, you have to understand that the thing about globalization is that it's inevitable. It's already happening. We can't escape from that. The best that we can do from it is to adapt to it. The alternative is to simply disassociate yourself from society by not making use of those electronic applications or advantages and whatnot. In relation to that, though, I noticed recently that Canada has not actually been taking a frontline response, or hasn't been giving much attention to itself on the world stage with regards to the Asia-Pacific Economic Forum. Considering that it once hosted the event well over a decade ago, why not? Why do you think it hasn't taken this much action?
Well, in terms of what Canada did at the summit this year, I think the biggest piece of news, actually, is about how our Prime Minister seems to have a lot of fans in the Philippines. But aside from that, the other piece of news that Canada was involved in is over free trade agreements. So in some ways, this whole summit was a battle of different regional free trade agreements. So apart from bilateral ones, there's regional ones in the works, such as the Chinese-led free trade area of the Asia-Pacific, which doesn't include the U.S., and then there's the U.S.-led Trans-Pacific Partnership, which doesn't include China, and also there's something else called the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. So all of these agreements were looking for countries to join and to sign on at APEC. So that last one was promoted by China and also by some ASEAN countries. And as for Canada, the new Canadian government actually has a neutral stance towards the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was negotiated by the previous government with the U.S. A great amount of time at APEC this year was renegotiating and just clarifying the terms of this agreement to make sure that it is fair to the constituents back home now that we sort of have a different political party in power. I mean, that being said, we don't necessarily just have to sign on to one of these agreements and not the others. And in fact, all of these agreements got a lot of signatures at APEC. You know, as Chinese President Xi Jinping mentioned, having a lot of overlapping trade agreements could create a lot of fragmentation in the region. And so, but we can just see from this how free trade agreements are so important. Now there's, I think, including the bilateral ones, there's about 150 altogether.
In relation to that, though, I find it interesting. You mentioned security issues earlier. The thing about it is, though, that considering the maritime disputes in the South China Sea, the Sea of Japan, and as well as other disputed territories, do you think that, I find it really interesting that none of the countries there ever made mention of those problems. Yes, you mentioned that the recent Paris terror attacks did take a frontline issue in the agenda of the APEC committee members, but it never overrided the overall goal of maintaining economic development. Why do you think they chose to maintain that objective?
I think trade and shipping is at the heart of the territory disputes in the South China Sea. It's about controlling the important shipping lanes. So I think it's pretty telling that, you know, even though the disputes were on the agenda and it was a major topic during the summit, but in the closing session, it wasn't mentioned and the emphasis was still on trade. That's really at the heart of what APEC is all about, sort of creating a forum for economic integration for countries and for countries to sort of define their economic interests in terms of the Asia-Pacific as a comprehensive region. For Canada, at least, a lot of Canadians don't actually perceive themselves as being a Pacific nation. So according to this annual survey done by the Asia-Pacific Foundation of Canada, that number that considers Canada as a Pacific nation has actually been going down since they started the survey. So in 2012, 50% of respondents thought that Asia should be a foreign policy priority for Canada, but only 37% thought that in 2014. Again, in 2012, 58% of people thought that Canadian companies should go on trade missions to China, but only 47% think this in 2014. And also, the number of people that support teaching Asian language in schools, even that has gone down. And so, for Canada, the Atlantic nations, so the traditional trade partners such as the U.S. and Europe, people still overwhelmingly think that those are foreign policy priorities for Canadians. Since the late 1970s, Canada has been developing a lot of policies to integrate its economic integration to the Pacific. You know, as this region grows more economically and strategically important, well, I guess we'll see how these opinions change in the coming years.
Thanks a lot, Kathy. In conclusion, I think it's also important to note that in spite of all these so-called agreements that are being made, no matter the number, 150, 200, or whatever, I also think it's important to make sure that we hold our leaders accountable because they will be the ones representing us on the world stage. So there has to be a way for us to make them legally bound to keep those agreements, regardless of the change of leadership. Also to make them accountable for any consequences that occur as a result. I mean, you can talk about statistics all you want, but the common man won't understand that. The common man will be thinking, how do I feed my family today? How can I send my kids to school? How can I provide for myself? Those kinds of things. It's always important to keep in mind the real things. Statistics may make some people feel good about themselves, especially if you're involved in political or socioeconomic circles, but they mean nothing to people who just want to go about their everyday lives. I think it's a lesson we can all learn. All right, thanks again, Hattie. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Zach and Hattie. We will offer you some living tips at the end of our program.
The beautiful white snow brought a slippery floor. Mind your step.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focus is on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. I'm Yang Shang. See you.
And I'm Xu Jingtian. See you.
更多节目，下载荔枝FM收听。